So we're going to get in the Word of God today, and I want to first of all take the moment to welcome each of you to church today. We can get in God's Word, and we can study God's Word, and we can hear from heaven. And, you know, as you can see, any one of us in the audience can be experienced any different number of things. For example, we are just now going to be praying about a legal challenge. You heard that one mentioned. You heard Derek mention a natural disaster that took place in the Midwest, claiming more than 50 lives. I mean, even the loss of one life is never good. And imagine 50 at one time. So we continue to pray and ask that God's blessing will be upon us. If you're excited about Jesus Christ today, let me see your hand. Amen, amen. I see some hands going up. I think we all should be. What has God done? The more I think about it, even this morning I woke up early and I sat there just reflecting on who God is and what he has done for us. We shouldn't have any dull moments. If your moment is becoming dull, take the time and think about Jesus. Right, Mildred? Just reflect on Jesus, who he is and what he has done. Today's message is entitled, All In. And I would like to pray one more time. Let us bow our heads. Our God and our Father in heaven, when we even pause to think of who you are, when you show up in nature in a very visible and physical way, all of nature get excited about you. The foundations of the earth itself tremble at your presence with excitement. When you show up, thunders give their roar, lightnings give their flashes, all because of your presence, God. Help us then as human beings not to have hearts of stone, but help us to be overjoyed this morning that your presence is among us. And we are with believers of like mind to worship you in spirit and in truth. Speak to us today, Lord. Whatever difficulties we are going through, whatever challenges we have, help us to realize that with you we are more than conquerors. So speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God is our all in all. In every situation of life, putting God first and foremost is your A game. It is your best plan. It is your wisest move. What do you say? Amen. Amen. So whether you're a little child, a student, a working professional, a retiree, or an ordinary person, or an extraordinary person, being all in with God is a big deal. How many of you believe that? Big deal. Yes. God deserves your being all in with him. But the question today is, are you all in? As we close out this year, I am urging each person here today to be all in. Many people like to make New Year's resolutions. Many people do that. But is this the best you have to offer to Jesus? Wait till a year ends and another is about to start, and then you make a New Year's resolution. And maybe 10 days in, you even forget that you made it. Is this the best you have to offer to Jesus? Better yet, what does God require from his disciples? Are you a disciple of Jesus? In Matthew chapter 16, speaking about all in Matthew 16, beginning in verse 24, the Word of God says, Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. What will your reward look like when Christ returns? Jesus says this here in Matthew. And in Revelation 22 and verse 12, Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be." What will your reward look like? In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" From these passages, one thing is clear. We need daily cross-bearing and self-denial. The whole business of Bible Christianity is being a martyr. How many of you knew that? If you are not living the life of a martyr each day, you are not living biblical Christianity. Every day we must die to self. This is the kind of martyrdom that the Bible is enacting and teaching and showing us the way of God. We must be dead to self. It doesn't take long for the old self to revive. The human nature, the carnal human nature, is battling for the supremacy. And that's why we must take on Christ's divine nature if we are going to enjoy successful Christian living. The whole business of Bible Christianity is being a martyr. And this is why a New Year's resolution falls short of God's ideal for us. A year is too long. We should daily resolve to deny selfishness. That's what it means to deny self. We're embarking on a major evangelistic journey. And for the year 2022, the Atlantic Union, to which we belong with five other conferences, and our local conference, the New York Conference, the year 2022 is dubbed the year of evangelism. My brothers and sisters of the Elmira Seventh-day Adventist Church family, we can't do business as usual. And so we are encouraging everyone to make the third Thursday of each month a day of prayer and fasting for you. Start at sunset that Wednesday night and go through the night. I mean, most of us shouldn't be eating through the night anyway. Fast through the night. And then when Thursday morning comes, see how long you can fast and pray. You know, you will have your medical needs that maybe you can't do the whole day. But do what you can. If you can fast and pray for an hour, do it. If it is 2 hours, then do it. Or 3 hours. Whatever you can, fast and pray. What are we fasting and praying for? That me, I, the person fasting, will be an agent for Christ. Fast about that. Fast that I will be true to Jesus. And that's for the person fasting. Fast that the church to which I belong, I will be an agent to bring others. Fast about that. Fast that my name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain from the foundation of the world. Fast about that. Fast for your family. Fast for the people that live on the same street with you, in the same apartment building with you. Fast for the community. Fast for this city. Fast for Shemam County. Pray for the county executive. Pray for the mayor of the city in which you live. Pray for the chief of police in the city you live. Pray for every person in the city you live. Fast and ask God to help us to help those people to his plan of salvation. Amen. Every third Thursday of each month, mark it on your calendar. We're going to fast and pray as a group. Brothers and sisters, we're getting closer to the coming of Christ. And the coming of Christ does not frighten the righteous. Because the coming of Christ will be deliverance for the righteous. But those who are going home to heaven with Christ must be people who are living out the character of God. And character building takes time. Moment by moment, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, year by year, we are forming a character for eternity or for destruction. Let us pause to examine ourselves. And let us make up our minds that with Christ, we're going to be all in. Every day, we must be denying self-centeredness. Self is always in competition with God. We are called to live selfless lives. What can we do then to counter that? Accept Christ's invitation. Deny yourself. Personally take up your cross and follow Jesus. This is the total and unreserved surrender of body, mind, and spirit to God. Be all in. Jesus daily surrendered all. He was all in. Paul daily surrendered all. He was all in. And every successful disciple of Christ must surrender all. Are you all in? Now is the time to do so. To be all in means total surrender. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Do you think this was optional for Paul? Do you think this is optional for us? If one day pass and we don't do this, we are again a terrible sinner, living apart from the grace of Christ. Christianity is a daily experience. The walk with God is a daily experience. As a matter of fact, if your relationship is getting sweeter with God, you're going to want to do this every day. You're going to want to surrender even more deeply so selfishness can be totally erased from your experience. And I tell you a secret. The closer I get to God, the less I trust myself. I don't know, you may feel pretty good about yourself, but I am not. I feel pretty good about Jesus. And he's making me, he's continuing to work on me and making me in what I need to become. That daily walk with God. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I think one of the things we can do is to honestly reflect on the past year. Let us review our lives today Let us examine ourselves and see whether you are in the faith. Being a pastor doesn't keep me in the faith. And I have to be as intentional as any of you about having my personal devotional life. Because I'll tell you, preparing a sermon and doing church business or studies is not personal devotional. Amen. And so we have to see God daily. And like I said, the more we see of Christ, the more we are going to want to do this. Because we realize that we have a tongue that is pretty untamable. And unless the grace of God is constantly at operation in us, we are going to attempt to say some things, and we might even say some of them. But may the grace of God give us minds and lips and tongues that will think and speak to the glory of God. Amen. When last did you check to see if you have been a faithful son, a faithful daughter of God? When last did you do a self-check? Comparing yourself, not with the pastor, not with an elder or the head deaconess or someone. When last did you compare yourself with Christ to see where you stand? When you look in the mirror, can you see Jesus? When you reflect on your own thought process, do you think Jesus? How is it with you in your innermost self? Are you true and honest? Have you surrendered all to God? Have you given God full control over your life, over your will, over your desires, and over your entire being? Are you godly? Are you godlike? Are you all in with God? My admonition, my encouragement, my urging is, be all in with God. Jesus went all out for you. He said in John chapter 15, verse 9 through 13, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Do you think this was some kind of a mystery Jesus was speaking of? I paused there at the end of verse 10. That was very literal. There are those who are constantly telling you that if you keep God's commandment, you're a legalist. Well, I guess Jesus was the first class legalist, because he says, I have kept my Father's commandments. Well, if that's what a legalist be, then I want to be a legalist. I want to be true to God. I want to keep God's commandments. I don't want to worship idols. I don't want to have any other God but God. I don't want to take God's name in vain. I don't want to break God's Sabbath. I don't want to dishonor my mother since my father is dead. I don't want to commit murder. I don't want to commit sexual sins, including adultery. I don't want to lie. I don't want to steal. I don't want to, bear that false witness. I don't want to covet. Which Christian want to do these things? Every carnal Christian want to do these things. But the spiritual man must win. Amen? And so Jesus says, I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So maybe then, At this time of the year, Christmas time, we sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." Maybe the reason the world is having less and less joy is that the world is not wanting to keep God's commandments. Jesus says, "I have done these things and I have spoken these things to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Commandment keepers are joyful, full of joy. Amen? Yes. Verse 12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Can you right here today say you love one another? Can we say we love one another? What does loving one another look like? We can see the empty spaces. And I know Heather Moore used to sit over on this side, but today she has switched over here. I can mark where people sit. Yes? Brother Joseph Seals, we're not seeing him today. The Pierce family, you know, they sit over there. We're not seeing them today. And Jacob used to sit with Brother Hinman there, his grandpa. That's the idea. We need to know when someone is missing and reach out and see what's going on. Jesus says that you love one another as I have loved you. That's what he wants from us. And then in verse 13, Jesus gave the punchline. Here it is, Brother Ronnie. Jesus says here in verse 13, "Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." God has been so all in to save us that he did the unimaginable. God became one of us in the person of Jesus Christ in order to save us. And I'm going to make a confession here today. For all eternity, Jesus will retain his humanity. And this boggles my finite mind. Did God deserve to have to take on human flesh and humanity? I don't think he deserved that. Maybe it's just my understanding, but that's a limitation for the great God. But who am I? God is God. The point is, God did that for us. What is it so precious then that we have that we will not surrender to God? What is it? If the divine, sovereign creator of heaven and earth and the universe, and like the Sabbath school lessons, the one who rules over the heaven of heavens, if he can take on humanity to save us and will retain that for all eternity, what more could he have done that he has not done to save us? Oh, that we would have hearts to praise God. Oh, that we would stop the pretending and really love God genuinely. Oh, that our lives will be filled up with all the fullness of God, where our lives is rich in love, rich in mercy, rich in justice and truth and righteousness. May our hearts melt because of God's love. May we find new passion for Jesus Christ. And may the life of Christ fill us to the full. May Jesus be the most exciting subject of which we speak. May our eyes light up when we speak of Jesus. May our bodies become animated when we think of Christ and speak of him. When we sit at lunch, when we enjoy our finest food, may Jesus be the center of our affection and thought. May it be that we want to tell everybody about this Jesus. But it's difficult if we have not quite met him yet. It's difficult if Jesus is only an acquaintance and is not our dearest friend. It's difficult if we don't realize that Jesus, if we don't make him personally in our lives, our divine God, we will not want to tell others about him. But when we are loaded up on Christ, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, Christ and his righteousness will ooze out from us. Filled to the overflowing. Fill my cup and let it overflow. Let it overflow with Christ. Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God went all out for you. Are you all in for him? Surrender all. Be all in. Now God became one of us and is giving us the privilege to be one with him. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 2 through 4 from the English Standard Version, Peter writes, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. King James Version said, through lust. To be partakers of the divine nature. What a privilege is ours. I want to confess to you today that I am all in. How about you? With outstretched arms, God is granting us the privilege to partake of his divine nature. Do you know what that is? That is much greater than an invitation to the White House or to the Buckingham Palace or to Saudi Arabia, to the Burj Khalifa, or to some Disney destiny of yours, to partake of his divine nature. That's more than all the stocks that you have. That's more than your government bonds and IRAs and that stuff. To partake of the divine nature is more than any retirement plan any of you have. To partake of the divine nature is bigger than any desire that you could possibly ask or imagine. When I sit and think of this, you get to really realize that it has nothing to do with you, because there's nothing we could offer to God for him to make us such a gift. To be partakers of his divine nature. Now, this is big. Our prophetess Ellen White says, and this is in the book Education, pages 18 through to 19, and that was written in 1903. Higher than the highest human thought can reach is God's ideal for his children. Godliness, godlikeness is the goal to be reached. Catch that? Higher than the highest human thought can reach is God's ideal for his children. Godliness, godlikeness is the goal to be reached. Are you godly? Are you godlike? If your neighbors, co-workers, even those who make themselves your enemies, if you were the only Bible they can read, living epistles, would they have a just conception of God because of you? Your spouse, can they see God reflecting in you? As a single person, can others looking on see God reflecting through you? If you are the only witness in this world, can the world look on and say, this is what God looks like? Is your life that meaningful? Here's another quote for you. Everyone is to keep himself separate from the world, which is full of iniquity. We are not to walk with God for a time and then part from his company and walk in the sparks of our own kindling. There must be a firm continuance, a perseverance in acts of faith. We are to praise God, to show forth his glory in a righteous character. No one of us will gain the victory without. Now, let me back up. I want to read that part again. It said there must be a firm continuance, a perseverance in acts of faith. We are to praise God, to show forth his glory in a righteous character. No one of us will gain the victory without persevering, untiring effort, proportionate to the value of the object which we seek, even eternal life. And that's from Testimony to Ministers, page 511. How is your character today? What is life like for you in your home, where you reign as king, where you reign as queen? Is God there? Is God first and foremost and highest and best? Is God central there? In your phone conversations, your text messages, your social media life, is God central there? For those who are going to make it to heaven, we will have to live out the principles of heaven right here on earth. Heaven will not be much different than your thought pattern right now. I want you to think about that. Because seeing a place won't change you. And God has been revealing his character to humanity for almost 6,000 years now. And if we ignore all of that evidence to be godly, to be godlike, the second coming of Christ will not make us whole. We have to be made whole here and now by God's grace. Amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 23, I'll back up to verse 20, and we'll look at that passage as we wind down to a close. Paul writes, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." See, Paul was writing the letters to the Corinthian Christians Because the Corinthian Christians were questioning Paul's apostleship. Did you know that? They were even telling Paul that they were better apostles than he pretends to be. And even among these Corinthian Christians, there were people getting baptized in the hope that they would have seen their loved ones who had passed away. And so you'll see the term, those who are baptized for the dead. They didn't baptize on behalf of the dead, but they got baptized in the truth that Christ is the resurrection and the life. That one day, their dead loved ones, when they are resurrected, they'll get to see them. And then Paul is making the argument, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, fulfilling the annual festival of the first fruits. It's right there. Christ became the first fruits. And then verse 21 says, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead." And so Paul is doing this juxtaposing between Adam, the first Adam, and Christ, the last Adam, or the second Adam. He's doing that. And he says, Adam brought us death, but Christ is bringing us life. Verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming." Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Verse 26, I think everybody here likes this one. Can't come soon enough. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he must put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And there are those who say, see, Christ is not quite God, because he'll be subject to God the Father. Well, the essence of Paul's whole discussion here is that Christ came as a second Adam. And as a human being, he was living in total subjection to the Father's will. When he hands back the kingdom over back to the Father, he himself will no longer need to be the second Adam. He will be God as he were from eternity past. So people try to use texts like these to make Jesus less than he is. The one who we call God the Father is not greater than the one that we call God the Son. The one we call God the Son is no greater than the one we call God the Holy Spirit. Three co-eternal beings. And even the song we sung, hymn number 2 on the last phrase of the last stanza, is a little bit off. It says 3 in 1. It's actually 1 in 3. So they have it a little bit reversed there. One God in 3 persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's not 3 gods in 1. It's 1 God in 3 beings. 1 divine nature. And so I'm glad that Jesus is fixing this death problem. We don't know. Some of us may die before 2021 is out. Maybe for some of us, the year 2022 is the year that we're going to die. We don't know. What we do know is Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he says that death is the last enemy, and he's going to trample death. We are promised that. And so we want how verse 28 ends. It says that he'll put all things under him, that God may be all in all. That God may be all in all. Here's my final quote to you today. This is also from the book Education, page 19. Before the student, and I could ask you, are you a student in the school of Christ? I'm a lifelong student in the school of Christ. It says, before the student, there is opened a path of continual progress. He has an object to achieve, a standard to attain, that includes everything good and pure and noble. He will advance as fast and as far as possible in every branch of true knowledge. But his efforts will be directed to objects as much higher than mere selfish and temporal interests, as the heavens are higher than the earth. A path of continual progress. The path of the just. Proverbs 4:18 is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Have you surrendered all? Today, are you all in with Jesus today? I invite you to be all in. Finish strong. Finish stronger than you started. Be a winner with Christ. Be a soldier for Christ. God has done everything to bring us into oneness with himself. Christ is still in heaven making the atonement for us. Let us then be clothed in his righteousness. And as we go throughout the rest of this Sabbath, let us finish strong. As we go throughout whatever remaining portion we have in our lives, let us finish strong. If God grants that we finish the remaining portion of 2021, let us finish strong. Let us stay attuned to the message from heaven. Let us be loyal to Jesus Christ. And may we be true to Jesus, regardless of what Satan and his wicked angels and wicked human beings throw at us. Let us, by God's grace, triumph. And our greatest triumph is to surrender all at the foot of the cross, to be all in with Jesus. This is our victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, I am now asking, Lord, for your great blessing upon every person present here. I'm asking your great blessing upon everyone in the hearing of my voice. Oh Lord, let your spirit be over us. And we really thank you for this past year so far that you have taken us safely through. We've been in many dangers, but your presence has been with us. Your provisions, they have supplied all of our needs. And Father, thank you for your keeping care. Thank you for your guardianship. Thank you for being our great physician, healer. Thank you, Lord, for being our defender, rear guard. You've covered all the bases, Lord. Make sure that all our needs have been met. Greatest of all, Lord, you have supplied us bountifully with your salvation. Help us then to trust in you, to accept your gift, to live Live out, Lord, the meaning of our faith and to help others do the same. Send a great revival in our hearts, we ask of thee. Send a great revival in our marriages, in our families. Send a great revival in our church family and our wider community. Oh, Jesus, have thine own sweet way in our lives. And as we go from your courts today, help us to go into your presence. Help us to go hand in hand with you. Lord, keep us loyal. May we ever be loyal to you, as the song says, in this world and the next. Give us true hearts, Lord, and help us to be all in. Help us to be totally surrendered. And help us, Jesus, to manifest your full character. Fill us to the full with all the fullness of God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.